I don't know about you, but if my physical space is cluttered, I can't think clearly. And if you have children, chances are you have clutter. Their stuff seems to multiply like rabbits. I've heard from many of you that you have a difficult time staying on top of keeping your house tidy. In this episode, I want to share my strategy for dealing with the never-ending influx of papers, toys, laundry, dishes, and more. This strategy has three parts. The first part is that everything has a place. When it doesn't, it stays on the counter, and I put off dealing with it. But when everything has a place, I can quickly put it away. And when it has its place, my children know how and where to put it away. That does not always mean that they do it, but they do know how to do it and where it needs to go. Sometimes we have to work on that as the skill that they need to improve, but at least it removes one of the barriers. Case in point for this, we spent one summer, and I'll talk about this more in just a little bit, but we spent one summer reorganizing our home library books. We have a very large library. Learning is my top Clifton strength, and I am always on the lookout for a good book. So it's no surprise that we have a ton. We've found them at thrift stores and library sales. Sometimes we buy them new, but I try to find them used. And so it's grown over the years. We'd gotten to a point where when they were done reading them, the books didn't get put up. And if they did get put up, I couldn't find them again. And since we were homeschooling, I needed to be able to find the books because sometimes I use them as part of our lesson plans. So we took that summer and we organized them. We put stickers on them so that they would be grouped by category and my daughters would know where on the shelf to put them and the direction to put them so that they were face up and you could read the titles a little easier. We've done this with other aspects of our home also. Games and math manipulatives have their place. Stuff in their rooms needs to have its place. So that's the first part of the strategy. The second part is that I work in small bursts. I will set a timer for, say, 10 minutes and work, just blitz through it and get it done. What's key about this strategy, regardless of how long your timer is set, whether it's 10 minutes, 25 minutes, or an hour, it's okay to stop on that project when the timer goes off. That feels so wrong to me. You need to work on a project until you get it done. As I've learned more about my Clifton strengths, I've learned that's because of my responsibility nature and my discipline strength. When I set out to do something, I want to just get it done. But I was telling my hairdresser about this one day, and we were talking about working through different projects, and she opened up a whole new world to me. Her and her husband were working on a home improvement project, and they got to the end of a day, and he said, okay, we're done for the day. We'll come back tomorrow and finish. And she was like, whoa, wait a minute, we're not finished. And he said, it's okay, we can come back tomorrow and pick up where we left off. And I just sat there and looked at her and I'm like, yeah, you totally can. Why have I never thought of this before? And I think it's because my strength of responsibility and discipline, I sit down when I'm going to do something, I just do it and I get it done. But there are times when the project seems too big, or I know that I can't get it done in the amount of time that I have. So hearing about that concept of just setting the timer for whatever time it is and stopping when the timer goes off has allowed me to fit more into snippets of time that I do have. Now, the third part of the strategy is to create a routine. An example of this is I try to clean up my kitchen the first thing in the morning and I tidy the house just before dinner. Each of those tasks takes me about 10 minutes. And so I'll set, when I first started this, I set a timer and I'm like, okay, whatever I can get done in the 10 minutes is what I'm going to get done. And it was surprising to see that, you know what, I can pretty much have the kitchen cleaned up. And then in the evening, we can all work together to have a 10-minute tidy up blitz and get the whole house cleaned up. It wasn't clean, but we didn't have clutter out. We had all the shoes and the books and the toys put away, and we were able to enjoy dinner then in a more relaxed atmosphere because we didn't have so much clutter around. When you create this routine, then you can make it fun. You could make it a game, you could turn on some music, but it ends up being a bit of a sprint and something fun that you get to look forward to. What if you have a big mess right now that's too big to tackle in these 10 minutes? I'm sure that you have some area in your home that's like that. We all do. That's totally normal. You can use the same strategy. You just might need to modify it a little bit. Start by determining the room in your home that will have the biggest impact on the way that you feel, and then focus on that one. I like to look at it as the snowball effect. You could start with a small snowball rolling down a hill, and it will start slowly, but as it keeps going, it gets bigger and bigger, and it goes faster and faster, and it builds up steam as it goes. For me, this is our kitchen. That is the room that we spend the most time in, and that I want to feel warm and inviting and not cluttered. And if the kitchen is cluttered, then I don't want to cook. I don't want to eat. I don't want to hang out. So that was where I would always focus. And so now that's actually shifted a little bit because I'm spending more time in my office and at my desk as my girls are getting older and I'm getting involved in other activities and other endeavors. As I'm going back to school, I'm doing more coaching. So I have had to reorganize our office so that same concept, I want to be in here. So after you've determined the room that's going to have the biggest impact on your outlook or on your ability to function well, keep your goals small and take baby steps. This happened to me a couple of years ago. I had realized that we had accumulated a lot of stuff and we needed to purge a lot of it. I needed to go through literally every room in the house and look through all the drawers, all the cabinets, and start getting rid of things that we weren't using. And I thought, this is going to take forever. But I said, you know what? One step at a time. I made a list of the rooms that I wanted to tackle. And sometimes I even had to write down that room multiple times and put down different aspects of it if it was a larger room and there were multiple areas I needed to go through. For example, in our family room, I knew that I needed to look at our books, I needed to look at the games, I needed to look at the art supplies. So each of those was a separate item because I couldn't do it all at once. I then organized that list into the order of importance or the easiest, quickest to finish, you know, whatever I felt I needed to tackle first down to getting the rest of it done. And then I chose a day of the week that I knew we'd be home and that I could spend some time going through each room. In this situation, I did not set a timer. I just said, I'm going to tackle this room today. It took me several months, but I eventually did make it through every room. The house felt so much better, so much lighter, and I didn't worry about getting it all done at once. I broke it up. I said, one day a week, I'm going to focus on one of the rooms. I mentioned previously that we reorganized our library one summer and put stickers on. And when we did that project, I didn't make a list of what I was going to do. I knew what I needed to do. I needed to pull every book off the shelf, put it into a software that would allow me to track what we have so that I wouldn't buy duplicates so often. And I knew that we needed to put a sticker on and a label. So it was the same thing over and over. What we did instead was we spent 30 minutes a couple of times a week My daughters would bring books over to me off of the shelf. I would process them as I had just described, and then they would go put them away. They would find the similar stickers that they could group them. We did that for 30 minutes, and I said, okay, we're done for the day. And then that way it didn't become too big of a project and too overwhelming, and we just got tired of doing it. We just spent an hour to an hour and a half a week, and eventually, over the course of that summer, we got done. So you can use this strategy to either tackle a big project or to keep up what you have already done so that you can deal with the clutter that inevitably will come into your home. Do you need to apply this to an area in your home? I'd invite you to choose one 10-minute sprint that you can do today. You don't have to finish that area, because 10 minutes at a time can add up. And if you need help making a plan for tackling your stuff, coaching might be helpful. We can work together to brainstorm a plan of attack and explore what might be keeping you from making progress. You'll find a link for how you can schedule a free discovery call that we could talk more about this. Until next time, continue pursuing your dreams and impacting the world. Thanks for joining me on the Purposeful Impact podcast. I pray that today's episode blessed you and that you found encouragement and practical tips. If so, would you share this episode with someone else so that they can be blessed too? I'd also appreciate it if you would take 30 seconds and leave a rating and review in your podcast app. Leaving a review helps other homeschool parents find the podcast and know if it's a good fit for them. Thanks so much for helping to spread the word.